Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is, What's God Up To in Ordinary Time? Our text is a free text chosen from the first book of Samuel. Let me read just two verses right now. Now there was a certain man from Ramah, from the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah. Now this man would go up from his city year after year to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord in Shiloh. I invite you to follow your sermon outline. It's the pinkish color insert today as we consider our theme, What's God Up To in Ordinary Time? How do you respond to the word ordinary? Ordinary comes from the Latin word which means regular, according to order, unchanging. The ordinary is the name of the section of the liturgy that never changes from week to week. The invocation in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the benediction at the conclusion of the service, the creed that we speak, the prayers in the Lord's Prayer, we do them every Sunday, they are called the ordinary of the service. The adjective ordinary means customary, normal, unexceptionable, unchanging. And one half of the church year, 6 months of the church year, from June until November, is called the ordinary time of the church year. And during the time of ordinary in the church year, the color is green on the stoles, the pediments. In fact, these are my third set of green stoles in 30 years. All my other ones look pretty new. The green ones keep wearing out. Why? Because they're my ordinary stoles. I wear half of the year, every year, for 30 years. Are you excited about ordinary yet? Ordinary. But the question this morning is this. What is God up to in ordinary time? That is, what is God up to in the day-by-day, same old of our everyday lives? There's a wonderful Old Testament story about God being active in ordinary time. We just read a little bit of it from 1 Samuel 1. This was during an ordinary time for the people of Israel. It was between the miraculous exodus from Egypt and the glorious kingdoms of Saul and David and Solomon. It's just sort of an ordinary time in Israel. And our text says this, year after year, Elkanah went up to Shiloh to worship the Lord. Elkanah was a man from a hill country. And every year he did exactly the same thing. He went to the town of Shiloh to make his usual sacrifice and worship of the Lord. It was an ordinary routine. And what Elkanah did year after year, same pattern, same thing, was take with him his two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. Now Peninnah had plenty of children. Hannah was barren. She had no children. And year after year, Hannah, his wife, wept because she had no children. Listen to more verses of the text. When the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he gave portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion because he loved her so. Her rival, however, would provoke her and make fun of her and irritate her because she had no children. And it happened this way year after year. As often as he went to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, her rival would provoke her, so Hannah would weep and be sad and not eat. In the ancient world, nothing was worse for a woman than not to be able to have a baby. But it was worse for Hannah because Peninnah kept making fun of her and mocking her month after month, year after year. This went on with no end in sight for Hannah. Her entire existence was painfully ordinary. It was all ordinary time for Hannah. How about you? Does Hannah's life sound like your life at times? It seems like others are all around us celebrating how good life is, how good their marriage is, how wonderful their children are, how great their finances are going. Everybody is celebrating life is so wonderful. And often, you may feel like you're stuck in a rut. You're doing the same old, day in and day out. And all seems so ordinary. If this ordinary time, like it was for Hannah, seems painful and non-ending, it's natural for you to wonder, as Hannah did, where is God? And what is God up to in the ordinary times of my lives? But ordinary time was over for Hannah when her son Samuel was born. Listen to the text. They arose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord, as was their usual custom. They returned to their house again in Ramah, as they did year after year. And Elkanah had relations with his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. And it came about in due time, after Hannah had conceived, she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, "Behold, I have asked of the Lord." And in time, Hannah had three more sons and two more daughters. Be careful what you pray for. The name Samuel means, in Hebrew, God hears. Hannah prayed. After all this ordinary time, God answered her prayer. And so she said, "I'm going to name my boy God Hears, because he heard my prayer." And although it had been so difficult for Hannah to see God's love for her in the midst of her ordinary life, God was at work caring for her in ordinary time. God is at work in our ordinary days, in our ordinary lives, whether we know it or not. Even whether or not we can see it, God is at work in the day in and day out, same old, God is behind the scenes at work. And we need to pray, "Oh Lord, please give us spiritual eyes so we can see you at work even when our physical eyes can't see it. Lord, give us spiritual ears so we can hear your message of love for us even when our physical ears can't hear it." Through my years of pastoral ministry, next year coming up to 30, I can't believe it. I wish I could tell you the number of people who have told me these words, "Pastor, looking back on my life, looking back at the events of my life, I came to realize God was at work caring for me even when I was in the middle of it, I couldn't see. But hindsight is always 20/20. I can look back now and see God was at work." God is at work today. Are you with me today? Are you hearing my words in ordinary time? God is at work in the ordinary times of your life. God spoke to Hannah's son Samuel as he listened in ordinary times. You see, Hannah had made a vow. She said, "Lord, if you give me a son," and it says this in the text, "I will never let a razor cut his hair off his head." Now, what does that mean? This was well before the era of what we used to call hippies. And I wore my hair to my shoulders. Can you believe that? Hannah made a promise to God and said, "If you give me this son, I'll never cut his hair." Translation: "I'll dedicate him to you as a prophet and a priest, and he'll serve you," in our modern lingo, "as a pastor." Well, Samuel went to apprentice at the temple, the tabernacle of Shiloh, under the old priest Eli. And listen to what 1 Samuel 3 says. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli the priest. And word from the Lord was very rare in those ordinary days. Visions of the Lord were infrequent. Samuel was apprenticing under Eli. And the text says it was ordinary times because the visions and the word of the Lord weren't being heard by the prophets. But Samuel had spiritual ears. And he heard God calling him into ministry, and Samuel responded to the call. And God spoke to another man, a prophet named Elijah, as he listened in ordinary times. The story is told in 1 Kings 19. Maybe you remember the prophet Elijah. He was standing on a high mountain peak, waiting for God's voice, waiting for God's revelation. And 1 Kings 19 puts it this way. God was not in the magnificent wind. God was not in the amazing fire. God was not in the shocking earthquake. But God came in a still, small voice to Elijah. That is to say, God comes to us, if we're listening, in the ordinary quiet of our daily lives. God still speaks to us. God still cares for us in the same old of our ordinary lives. Dear Lord, give us ears to listen when our times are ordinary, as they are so much of the time. I encourage you to really make a habit of listening to God's word as it's proclaimed to you from this pulpit Sunday after Sunday. I don't mean just letting the words assault your ears, but listening and asking the question, "Dear Lord, what are you saying to me?" Don't be like my mother used to be with my now sainted father. When pastor was preaching, mother would say, "Earl, he's talking to you. He's talking to you." Today, God is speaking to you. My prayer for you is this. You would tune out all the distractions of the world around and listen to God's still small voice speaking to your heart as His word is proclaimed. God speaking to your heart as the waters of baptism are applied in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Speaking to your heart as this bread and wine at the same time is the precious body and blood of Christ given for you. Speaking to your heart in your private prayer time or reading of the Scriptures. Dear Lord, please remind us that you act at just the right time. Galatians 4:4 says this. Listen to the text. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son. That word fullness of time is a very wonderful, pardon the expression, very pregnant Greek phrase. It means this. When the time was just right, when the world was most ready, when we needed Him the most, at just the right time, when the time was full, God sent His Son, Jesus, our Savior, to die upon the cross for your sins, to pay for your sins on the cross, and to thank God to pay for mine at just the right time. And listen to what Romans 8 says. What then shall we say to all of this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not with Him give Him everything, give us everything that we need? What does that mean? If we can trust that God sent the best gift, His Son Jesus, at just the right time, then we can also trust that He will take care of us in our day-to-day, same old, ordinary times, even when we can't see Him at work. You see, following Jesus is not a nonstop, extraordinary roller coaster ride of excitement. Now, there are some well-meaning preachers, and it seems most of them have TV programs or have written books. And there are many well-meaning Christians that want to tell you that following Christ should be an everyday, non-stop roller coaster ride of excitement. Woohoo! But then you ask yourself, if that's true, then is something wrong with me? Because you say so often, my life with my Lord Jesus is just a relationship of his faithfulness day after day after day. There's nothing wrong with you. Dear Lord, give us Hannah's patient hope and Samuel's spiritual ears to realize that you're at work in the ordinary days of our lives. I want to conclude this message by sharing with you an illustration from a wonderful movie called The African Queen, starring Humphrey Bogart and Katharine Hepburn. How many have seen it? Oh, then some of you will know. If you haven't seen it, and Jens raised both hands, so you've seen it twice. Okay. Oh, now you don't have to do that. Anyhow, in this movie, Humphrey Bogart plays Charlie Allnut, a hard-drinking, hard-living Canadian who runs a steamboat up and down the rivers of Africa delivering cargo and people before the war broke out. And in this movie also is Katharine Hepburn, and she plays Rose, a Christian missionary. And the enemy troops have attacked her village, burned down the church, and burned down her home. And so Rose and Charlie are fleeing down the African River, trying to get to a lake where there's safety and where all the Allied troops have gathered. But on their journey, they are incessantly attacked by insects. They're dodging German bullets. Their boat keeps getting stuck on sand and mud flats. They're always surrounded by the ordinary, never-ending, mile after mile of marshes and reeds. As far as the eye can see, they're surrounded. It's monotonous. It never ends. The boat gets stuck. Charlie gets out of the boat and begins to pull the boat with a rope. You probably remember the scene. He gets back on the boat, and his back and his arms and legs are covered with leeches. And he's shivering, and Rose picks them off. Then Rose jumps in the water, and they try to move them. They move the boat off the mudflat, and they keep going. But finally, they get hopelessly stuck on this mudflat. There's no way they're going to get off. Charlie is shaking. He's sick. He's so tired. And Humphrey Bogart says to Katharine Hepburn these words, "Well, Rosie, we're hopelessly stuck. There's no hope for us. We're going to die right here." And he falls asleep. And Rosie lifts her eyes to heaven and says, "Dear Lord, we're out of strength. Please open heaven's gates to Charlie and to me." And she joins him in sleep. But what their physical eyes couldn't see because they were so tired was this. They were only a few hundred meters from the lake. But because of the reeds and marshes, they couldn't see it. And the camera then pans upstream to where the river began. And there's a torrential downpour of rain. And the rain swells the river. And a water cuts through the channel. And a water goes to the mudflat and lifts up their boat upon which they're sleeping and brings their boat gently to this lake. And when they wake up, they're amazed. They're safe and they're sound and they've been rescued. Here is the truth for us. Since they were surrounded by ordinary, never-ending marshes and reeds, they couldn't see God's hand at work. But here's the truth for the story, and here's the truth from the sermon text about Hannah and about Samuel, and here's the truth of God for each of us today. In the day after day, in the same old of our lives, in the ordinary times at work, even when our eyes cannot see it, God is at work. And so I ask you the sermon question, what's God up to in ordinary times? He's taking care of you, and he's taking care of me. In Jesus' name. Amen.